Welcome to Nature Calls, conversations from the Hudson Valley. Our team's goal is to present science-based information about gardening and all things nature in New York's Hudson Valley. Hosts Gene and Tim, along with team members Teresa and Linda, are master gardener volunteers for New York's Columbia and Greene counties. So if you're interested in gardening or nature or nuggets of information about what's happening outside your door, settle in. Enjoy the conversation. Whatever the season, we have something to say.
Welcome to Nature Calls, conversations from the Hudson Valley. I'm Tim Kennelty.
And I'm Gene Thomas.
And today we're talking to a really special guest, Lisa Galina, who's the executive director of CCE for Columbia and Greene counties. We have the big guns today, Gene. What do you think?
Well, that's what we should have.
Welcome, Lisa.
Thank you so much. It's wonderful to be here with you guys today. I've been hoping to be asked to be on the show.
Oh my goodness, we've been dying to have you on the show. And we always start with our guests. We ask them a little bit about their background and how they came to be in this position and how they came to be, unfortunately, sitting with us.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's see. So I grew up most of my life in Dutchess County in Poughkeepsie, and I did 4-H for only 2 years, but that was my first kind of exposure to Cornell Cooperative Extension. Then fast forward to I'm in college, and I do an internship with CCE Dutchess doing environmental management work on steep slopes and looking towards having people think, this is back in 1991, guys, think about cluster development and sprawl and loss of farmland. Then I went to grad school at Antioch, and I studied environmental administration, moved out to California, thought I would immediately move into an executive director position at 23, 24, because, you know.
I could see it, definitely.
I was ready. Yeah. And instead, I ended up volunteering a lot and working as a high-tech recruiter, and I did then get a job in the environmental consulting world. Really loved the education side of it, so I moved back to New York 25 years ago. My daughter was born in San Francisco, Iris, and I really missed my family and came back here and started working in environmental education. I've worked with a variety of colleges, Marist College, Mount St. Mary College, and other nonprofits, all serving youth through gardening programs, environmental justice programs. So I always had the sort of a relationship with CCEs. In Orange, we worked with the RAP program. In Dutchess, the Green Teen program. So I've always had this kind of connection, ancillary, but not work directly for them, which is definitely different when you're working for them than being it. But it's, so that's kind of how I arrived here.
Gene, see, we always, we meet people, we know people for a long time, and then we have to have them on the podcast because we learn all these things that we don't know from just talking to them in regular conversation. There's like 5 podcasts from what you just said.
Yeah, and I love teaching. So I've taught at the college level for 15 years, environmental sustainability courses focusing on the Hudson River Valley and its distinction. So that part of the connection that we have in these programs is one of the reasons why I've wanted to, my end game was to get a job as an ED. It took 30 years longer than I had thought at 23, but hey.
Yeah, you're here.
I'm here.
That's
I arrived.
The important thing.
Okay, now comes the highlight. Tell us, what's your actual role at Cornell Cooperative Extension?
I think a connector, a disruptor, an energizer, a refocuser, a defocuser.
That's what we do.
Well, the disruptor part, definitely.
It's really helping to guide the organization with a strong culture of people feeling a sense of belongingness, looking toward a 5-year to 10-year plan fiscally, and also being day-to-day looking at where we are financially, how we are positioned to bring in new staff, to retain those staff, to provide opportunities for professional development, and to create a culture where people want to be here for a long time. Because there's a lot of transition in the job market these days.
Yeah, yeah, that's great. So maybe we can go back a little bit in history, because I think when I talk to people about being a master gardener, they don't always really understand what the cooperative extension does and where it came from. And I know it starts with land grant colleges, and different states have different land grant colleges. Can you talk about that a little bit?
So land grant colleges and universities, each state has one in the United States as well as the territories. In New York State, Cornell University is the one that we work through. So as extension, there's 56 extension executive directors. There are several that are dual county, 4. I'm one of those. So that federal funding comes down to provide agricultural and humanities. So the parenting program, programs such as 4-H, programs where we work with people who are food insecure or having other stressors. So it's kind of the agricultural side as it connects to the humanistic side. And that funding is something we go after every year. It's federal funding. The Smith Lever is what kind of conceptualized this ability to have extensions in each state.
Okay, I'm a history freak. I want to go back further. It started with Abraham Lincoln, right?
He was definitely instrumental. The Morrill Act, which was in 1862, happened during the Civil War. And that was kind of the predecessor to the Smith Lever Act that kind of enabled it to be a federal program that helped to build agricultural support systems throughout the country.
And the way they did this was by designating a college or university in each state to be the land-grant college.
Yes, and it's each state is set up a little differently. So, for example, if we were in Pennsylvania or Virginia, all of our staff would be state agent employees, whereas we are county agent employees. We are a 501(c) nonprofit subordinate to the state. It's kind of kooky. So we're a nonprofit, but we have this relationship with the land-grant university, though we're not direct employees in New York State.
The government funding is divided between the federal, the state, and the county, and there's a ratio, correct?
So every county is different. It depends on the number of people in the county, the number of agricultural acreage that is actually in production. So the first part of funding that Cornell Cooperative Extension of Columbia Green looks at is the federal, which is the Smith Lever, then the state, which is the 224 funding, and then the county level appropriation. So we have an appropriation from each county. And then from there, we go to grants and contracts and other funding to support the additional work. Like we have a contract with WAC and DEC to do other programming.
Wow, it's really complex, huh? I didn't realize that. And we have, in our cooperative extension, you're over two counties, which is, I don't know if that's unique, Green and Columbia. Is that a unique thing?
There are only four of us who have this. There's one person who has three,
wow,
but they have small population.
Right.
So yes, this has been for about 11 years now that the two counties have combined. And I think we're in a much better place than when it first happened because people have real distinction of each county, but
right,
there's also incredible connection. And that's what I'm really trying to focus on is bringing people across that bridge and
yeah,
under
the bridge.
Yeah.
Yeah, the bridge is a big part of it, right? People think about crossing the bridge like it's a really big...
Well, it's funny. I lived in Beacon and worked in Newburgh for a long time, and people would ask me how I got to work. So I would say I canoed
yeah,
or I swam, depending on the weather. You know, the river should be a unifier, not a divider,
yeah,
but it's resource-based usually.
But the counties are very different, right, in terms of their needs, and I know that their population and kind of what their resources are, right? So how do you deal with that?
So for Columbia County, there's a more traditional agrarian style farming, but there's also a lot of biodynamics and there's agroforestry starting to kind of happen here. It's a great time. There's a lot of interest in agriculture. There also has been a large influx to both counties of people moving up from New York City who have a lot of affluence that are interested in agriculture, want to support it. And our job is to help connect them with agricultural producers who've been here for a while so that we can find ways to work together. Because I think there's often a lot of dissension around the groups working together because there's not a real understanding on both sides of what the goals are for each person. So Greene County has more forestry and public land, and Columbia County has more of the large scale fruit production, apples, you know, stone fruit, things of that nature. And then also more dairy and livestock.
And is that historical? I know Columbia County in the 1800s, it was all sheep farming, right? Is it so because there's less forest? Because there were, I mean, I don't know if this is something we even know, right?
So ironically, our Siusula Forest in Greene County was a sheep farm. That was all clear cut. So when you walk through there and you see those stone walls, it wasn't just somebody doing some fun jazz in the woods. It was sheep farmed after it was clear cut for the tanneries. Hmm. So it's pretty interesting. And over here, there was a lot of clear cutting, but this was more ripe for agricultural production than the Greene County, which was utilized for forestry.
Okay, interesting.
Siusula was hemlocks?
Siusula did have a lot of hemlock forest in
moly.
It.
Never figured that would
yeah,
have been
so
the case.
Twice it was clear cut in the late 1800s, so between a 20-year period.
Yeah, some of the old pictures of the clear cut mountains is just
And for those people listening who don't even know what Siusla is, it's a model forest, right, in Greene County.
Yes, it's a model forest, 142 acres, that was donated to us by Eric Mesmussen and his family, and we use it to teach best forest practices, agroforestry, showing folks how to do different agricultural commodities in the forest, as well as how to properly remove trees from your land, safety with chainsaws, moonlight walks, foraging. I mean, there's an amazing amount of programming that happens there.
Yeah, that's great. And there, all of that's on the website, I assume, right?
Yes, it is all on the website. You can sign up for classes anytime. We have 5 to 10 classes for the public open in both counties for each month, usually.
Okay, so education, we're sliding back toward the 4-H. You were a 4-H veteran, and there's other educational things going on. Do you talk a little bit about that and what kind of opportunities and events you have for youth? I know one of the big things is the youth fair in Greene County.
Yes. So one thing I wanted to just sort of reconnect to is that everything that we do as extension agents is education or sharing of research. So we are not lobbying. We are not telling you this is how you should do it. We're providing you with a series of information, research-based information to then make decisions. So how we apply that to young people is we use certain curricula to youth development curricula through 4-H. We have STEM programs, livestock programs, dairy programs. Some people like to make clothing, artistic programming. So each club could be very unique. And then we also have community 4-H, which happens after school in both counties. Those programs we get funding from different sources to run. And those are incredible ways because traditionally 4-H is hard for a lot of families. From my case, for example, someone my mother knew got me into the program. It was after school. She was a single working mom. So the programs at the after school programs are really wonderful because that helps kids connect to it who may not live on an agricultural property to learn those sides. And then also for them to come to the youth fair, which is the only free fair in the state. And then we also have the Columbia County Fair at the toward the end of the summer.
So what's the age range for people in 4-H? Is it very young to kind of teens?
Well, Tim, I think you just aged out. It starts at 5. You can be a clover bud, and then you can stay into your 18th year if you are a person who is maybe on the spectrum or developmentally disabled. It is your developmental level. So if you are like a 14-year-old at 25 and you are a person on the spectrum or a person who's got Down syndrome, you may stay in the program. And it's connective like that, which I think is really a wonderful way to keep people engaged. Another exciting opportunity that we have to work with youth through Columbia County is the HAY program, H-A-Y. Can you guess what that's for?
I can't. It sounds like straw. I don't know.
It sounds so agricultural.
Yeah, it does.
So this is to connect with all youth in Columbia County. It's hiking, archery. You might look outside and note our new archery stand that we have. And then yoga. So we have these three prongs for community to work with young people to bring different curricula based on 4-H youth development curriculum so that people can learn those skills. And they're a little bit different than being in a club or in a community program. They can come here and do them. And we also take them out and do hikes with them. Mountain Van Buren, Columbia County Land Trust, all those different fun places.
So if I'm a kid and I live in Hudson and I don't have any relation to agriculture, it'd be a great thing to sign up for, it sounds like,
yes,
right?
Yes, and we have transportation for those programs as well.
And this is just in Columbia County?
So this grant we've gotten with Columbia County, yes. We'd like to hopefully expand this next year if we have more staff. Greene County was also excited about it, but this is our first year of doing it. This is working with the Youth Bureau and the Department of Social Services of Columbia County as a way to get kids outside doing things that are unique, different activities than from the traditional sports, but still physically active and engaging with the environment.
Archery and yoga, they
and are. Goat yoga.
No.
Possibly?
No, I don't think so. So you also have a lot of programs for adults, right? I mean, we are master gardeners. You have master forest owners. You have master canners. Mm-hmm. You have master naturalists, master mm-hmm. beekeepers. Can you talk about all the master programs?
Yeah. So these other programs of distinction allow adults to take non-credit courses and develop, you know, a real level of quote unquote mastery in an area where they have an interest. Some turn it into a business. Some just do it because they want to stay out of trouble and they want to find ways to keep themselves engaged and involved in the community. So we have the Master Forest Owner Program. We do 14 counties. We go out to their property with the volunteers who are trained and give them best uses for their forested property. And that's a free service that people can receive. Then we have the Master Gardeners, who I'm here with today. And that is a phenomenal program where people get to engage at both of our sites, out at community events, at the fairs, at libraries, and also here through our wonderful podcast.
Great. So I'm in many of those categories, and there's training that's really wonderful for each of those, right? And if you want to sign up, is there information on the website to sign up for that training?
Yes. So if you're interested to participate in any of the programs that we offer, so we right now we offer Master Forest Owner and the Master Gardener program. Those programs are almost every other year. There's a new cohort group, and then we hope that the folks that are there integrate them into the community, and it works out really nicely. During COVID, it was a little tricky, I think, because now we'll be doing the programs predominantly face-to-face with some online component that then you then get together and discuss. But really, it's place-based learning, and so it should occur that way whenever possible, with the online just being used as additional research and resource material.
I know the Master Naturalist program. We actually went to the Arno Forest and stayed there in cabins for 2 days.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
And as a reminder, it's Cornell Cooperative Extension. So all of this is under the aegis of Cornell University, which is pretty prestigious.
Yeah. So we actually sit under Cornell Cal's College of Ag and Life Sciences, which is the stateside university. Then there's Cornell University, the private side, but Cal's is also very prestigious, and that's where you're getting that agricultural research occurring. We have the Hudson Valley Research Center, which is a phenomenal place in Highland, New York. So there's a lot that's connected back to the state.
It seems like there's so many ways for the community to get involved and to ask questions. If you have something going on in your lawn, you can ask Master Gardeners, Master Forest Owners. If I have a question about my forest, I guess you would just go onto the website and find out information about how you can fill out a form and have somebody come out to your property.
Yes, they will come out to your property. You can go online or you can make a phone call, and the coordinator will establish a time that works with you to come to your property with a volunteer. Sometimes the coordinator themselves go, but often it's one of the volunteers.
Right. And one of the great things, and I think, Jean, you alluded to this, since it is Cornell, it's like for all of this, the volunteers have Cornell experts to basically lean on when they have questions that they can't answer, right?
Yeah. So when we have the relationship with Cal's and also Eastern New York Commercial Horticulture, so when someone works at, say, a local greenhouse, they can call in and we connect them with Eastern New York Commercial Horticulture. But a Master Gardener is going to help the individual at their home or, you know, in a community setting, not in a business setting necessarily.
And you partner with a lot of resources like DEC.
Yes, so we have collaborations with WAC.
What's DEC?
WAC? Yeah, what is WAC?
What is WAC? The Watershed Ag Council.
Oh.
Sometimes WAC is not a great thing to say. You guys are WAC.
We are WAC.
So Watershed Ag Council. So we work with them on doing education and training programs in our Sayula Model Forest. They manage the watershed. We are a part of it in Greene County to the other side of the mountain from us, but we also have in a larger watershed that we are offering educational programs. DEC, DEP, we do the AVID program. We do a lot of monitoring programs where we share community research back to the state.
I don't even know if we talked about this when we were kind of prepping and talking to you about this ahead of time, but the Cornell works with a lot of the towns too, right?
Yes. So we're doing a climate program in Columbia County where 16 climate adaptation plans, 16 towns have signed on to work with us to help them figure out ways to be more climate resilient. So their riparian buffer on their agricultural or their personal property, culverts, I'm looking at plantings. So we just had a big meeting a week ago, and we are also doing it for the county at large in Columbia. So that's a contract that we're doing through the state at the bequest of Columbia County, which is a really exciting time to do this work here.
Yeah, because Columbia County is like the first one, right? I mean, that's what I understand.
So we're doing this model that being created by our team that is a kind of a cohort model that goes through between, we started back in January and it goes through March. And where there's a series of meetings that happen and assessments, looking at all of the physical properties of the land and the water and what are the risks and what are things that folks can think about doing in each individual community and as well the county at large.
So you're educating how to resolve the issues and the tools to use. It's not just sitting around and having meetings.
Yes. So we're providing each community with its own plan and looking at their distinct natural resources, as well as their vulnerabilities because of climate change. So if they're along the, like say their Greenport or their Hudson, they're on the Germantown, they're on the water, it's a little different along the Hudson River right. than if you're inland in a wetland or along the tributary like, you know, the Rojan, the Claverick Creek. So we're looking at the site-specific vulnerabilities that are apparent.
It's really cool. And I think people are very enthusiastic about it. I mean, I know in my town, people are just really kind of revved up about it and excited about being the first to think about
this. Yeah, it makes me very excited because 10 years ago, I think this was a topic that created great dissension. But I think, unfortunately, due to all the climate disasters that people have been impacted by, now is a time where people across party lines and across philosophical are wanting to come together to figure out how to become more resilient. And that makes me feel really hopeful.
One of the other things, I know you want to enhance the Hudson campus. Do you want to talk a little bit more about that? You touched
it
very briefly.
So for the Hudson campus, we got $1,500 from the Bank of Greene County, and we're going to be upgrading the kitchen and hopefully getting some donations from different local stores to be able to use it as a teaching kitchen, do canning classes, preserving things more often than we had done in the past. This is a real early 1970s kitchen and not in a real hip way.
But it's got the cool mirror over the counter.
It does have the cool mirror.
I love the cool mirror.
It does have a cool mirror.
And Hudson campus, just so everybody knows, is on Route 66, right, in Hudson?
Yes, we're on Route 66, and we've done a lot to engage the community and want to continue. We recut a trail. We've had several work days here from different businesses or nonprofits or schools to come and help us revitalize this 14-acre campus here. And the same thing in Greene County. In Greene County, we're looking towards building a building similar to this size, but using best practices today for a sustainable building, and that would be an educational pavilion within the agroforestry center. Mm. And that's something that we're working on too. So in both places, we're trying to upgrade the facility so they're more inviting and they're more sustainable.
One of the things I know that everybody's pretty excited about is Taste of New York. Do you want to talk a little bit about Taste of New York?
So 4 years ago, we were asked to take on a Taste of New York store on the Thruway in Hanacroy. That is an excellent opportunity for us as an organization to bring the support that we do for agricultural producers to a finished product that goes to a market that's much larger than they might have access to. So we have products there from everywhere throughout New York State, but we really try to focus on Colombian green products. So we do a lot of tastings, and it's also a great program because it provides people with they also have our same benefits, and they have the New York State retirement. And it's a steady schedule. So often in retail, you don't have that. It's a great location in terms of folks going north to the capital to do their business or traveling north for vacation purposes. And it's a great spot to stop in and learn a little bit more about New York products and agriculture and connecting it back to those things being produced here. So when you talked earlier about the Master Canner program, there's products there that people who took those courses then went on to build that business, and now they're selling it throughout New York State and even beyond.
Very cool. So, and tell us exactly where it is again.
It's on the Thruway, New Baltimore, Hanacroy. It is a northbound only access.
Okay, so if I'm going southbound, I have to just like take a big U-turn or something.
There's some side roads. No, you'd have to, unfortunately.
But don't get caught.
Yeah, don't get caught. Don't do a turnaround.
We didn't tell you to do it.
Yeah.
Right?
It's northbound access only, and it's open 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. 7 days a week. We're only closed like 2 days out of the year.
And there's all kinds of goodies there, right?
It's wonderful treats. You can get scrumptious sweets and treats, healthy, amazing items from mushrooms to wonderful sandwiches to pies, also to other goods made. Like we have some really lovely rolling pins, some alpaca wool products, lots of really interesting products.
We're going to add links for people who want to get involved. Is there a particular website you prefer to tour people to so that they can connect with us?
Yes. So to connect with us, the best way is to go on to our website and request to be on our mailing list, because we do an email blast out of our programs every month. If you're 4-H, you get one weekly. So if you look at how to get involved, you can sign up to be added to our email. So you'll find out what's happening a month out, We also have, for the programs, for each program, there's on the site, you search 4-H or Master Gardener, Master Forest Owner, Parenting, Anger Management, Teen Management, anything. And you just put it in the search bar, and then you'll get led to the page which has the information on the program and the registration requirements and all of those things.
Yeah, there's a lot of information on the site, yeah. Definitely.
And this is all at cccolumbiagreen.org?
Yes.
We always have to ask this question at the end.
It's Tim's question.
It's my pet question, because we all want to have hope. Tell us what gives you hope today, Lisa, in terms of what you're working on.
So I think what gives me hope is I've been in the position a little over a year. And when I got here, I felt the energy of excitement and frustration, right? Excitement of getting kind of moving through COVID, and frustration about there still being a lot of disconnection of people not being in community together. So what makes me excited is seeing more people attending our in-person programming now that we're offering more. I mean, we're capping them out. It's wonderful. I've only had to cancel a couple of programs this year because there's been such strong interest in having the space to get together in nature or just in person. And I think that makes me very excited that we have these outdoor opportunities. So if it is unsafe due to whatever, you know, is happening health-wise, people can get together outside usually. And just that community connection, learning from one another. I mean, I'm a connector and I really like to get people engaged because, like, as you said, a lot of people can conceive us as, oh, they're the agricultural people. We are that, and we are also people who are helping connect when you have trouble with a child, a parent-child relationship, a anger issue, health issues, climate. There's so much that we offer that it makes me excited to see how all of those things connect. Like, for example, the Master Gardeners and the 4-H got together in the spring and did an event together. That connectivity, like getting people to see how we have more in common than we do different. And so to get folks together and being in present in the world, in the outdoors, or in a space, I think really shifts how people feel about one another to the positive.
That is hopeful, I think. Don't you, Jean?
Yeah, even I think that's...
Wow. You've won over Jean. That's something to be said. Thank you so much for coming today, Lisa. Really loved having you.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited that this big announcement of your, shall we say, exposure as a podcast has growing, and that makes me super happy as the executive director to just see how many more people are being touched by this wonderful way to connect with people and then get them to get together and work on improving their health and wellness and environment.
Thanks for your support.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That concludes another episode of Nature Calls, Conversations from the Hudson Valley. We would like to thank Sandra Linnell and Devin Connolly from Cornell Cooperative Extension of Columbia and Greene Counties for production support. And a special thank you to our listeners for joining us on this episode of Nature Calls, Conversations from the Hudson Valley. You can find links to any of the topics mentioned in this episode at our website at ccecolumbiagreen.org. Comments and suggestions for future topics may be directed to us at columbiagreenmgb@cornell.edu or on the CCE Master Gardener Volunteers of Columbia and Greene Counties Facebook page. For more information about Cornell Cooperative Extension of Columbia and Greene Counties, visit our website at ccecolumbiagreen.org or visit us in Hudson or in Acre. Cornell Cooperative Extension provides equal programming and employment opportunities.